the Lord. Amen. Testing 1, 2. Amen. It's on. I couldn't see the button. It's weird how when you get older, you can't twist the way you used to, and the stuff gets in the way. But anyway, it's on. Amen. Is that what it is? That's what it is. Amen. The Dunlap disease. My goodness gracious. Good singing. I appreciate the singing. That was good singing. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach. I sure do. Y'all continue to pray for the pastor and everybody as they're going on their trip. They'll have safe travels. They'll have a good time. Ephesians chapter 5, if y'all would stand. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 is where we're going to take off at. I love that song, Beulah Land. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of homesick for that country. Boy, what a deal. Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your place, say amen. If you don't, well, keep turning toward it, and I'm going to keep reading. So, Ephesians 5, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let's pray. Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to say that we love you. Lord, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would just hide me behind the cross, Lord God, that you would give me holy unction from on high to just preach what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would give everybody listening open ears and open hearts to receive what you'd have them to receive. Lord, give us some help from your word. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 14 is kind of where I could get in the thought from. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I want to preach for just a little bit about it's time to wake up. Amen? It's time to wake up. But I'm going to hit verse 15 and 16 real quick before I head back to 14. Verse 15 of chapter 5, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I tell you what, we live in an evil, wicked world. And it's getting worse and worse every day. It amazes me, stuff that used to be bad, now it's not so bad anymore, seems like. I'm talking about to us as Christians. Stuff that used to seem bad, not so bad. It's an evil world that we're living in, amen? They're calling good evil and evil good. They got it all backwards. They've strayed way far away from the truth, amen? I blame that on us Christians. Preachers, not preaching, not taking a stand for the Word of God, not taking a stand for right. And as a result, here we are. We're living in an evil world. But it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." Well, we know wisdom comes from God, amen. But I like that word, circumspectly. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That you're aware. That you know what's going on. The best illustration I've ever heard of circumspectly is like a deer in the woods. They always know what's going on. They're always looking, always aware. And as Christians, we should be that same way. We should walk circumspectly, always aware, because the devil, he's everywhere. It's an evil world we're living in, and we need to be aware to guard our hearts, to guard our minds from this evil world that we live in. Amen. Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth." He said, "And arise from the dead, that Christ shall give thee light." The first thing I see here is time to wake up to your need of salvation. It says, "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead." First of all, to awake, that means that you have to be asleep, right? A lot of times, sleeping in the Bible refers to somebody dying. It refers to death. Let me ask you, have you been awakened to salvation? Has God's righteousness been imputed unto you by the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Let me ask you, do you remember a time when you were sleeping, when you were dead in trespasses and sin, that you were lost, that you were headed to hell? If you don't remember that time, then you're still there. You're still lost. You're still sleeping, amen. Well, I'm telling you, it's time to wake up to your need of salvation. There's nothing better, nothing greater than salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Have you been awakened to salvation? It says, "And you hath he quickened." That means made alive. If you've been saved, you've been made alive. No longer are you dead. It says, who were dead in trespasses and sin? It means you're no longer dead. It means you're awake. Let me ask you, do you remember a time in your life when God came knocking on your heart's door and he said, hey, it's time to wake up. You need the Lord. You need salvation. Do you remember a time in your life when that took place? Yeah. If not, today's a good day. Wake up. Wake up, you need the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, if you're not saved, you're going to hell, amen. That's a dangerous spot to be in because we're not guaranteed our next breath, amen. Right. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Last part of verse 14, he says, if you awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead. If you'll do that, if you'll get saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God, it said, in Christ shall give thee light. Brother Tanner talked about that light. He actually talked about Ephesians 5:14 in his little message. Give thee light. Let me ask you, do you have the light? Are you still in darkness? Turn to Romans 5 real quick. Romans 5, verse 19. 5:19 through 21. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There in verse 19, for it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden when he sinned. When he willingly took of the fruit that God commanded him not to, and he sinned. And ever since that day, the Bible says we're all sinners, amen? We're all born sinners, each and every one of us. And if you die a sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, amen? Look at there, it says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that one there, we're talking about Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you, so you can have eternal life. I like verse 20. It says, but where grace abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Over there in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. None of us are worthy of salvation, or worthy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, or worthy of the righteousness that God gives us. When Jesus comes into our heart, none of us are worthy of it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. It's time to wake up to your need of salvation. If you're not saved, I can't tell you enough. You're missing out. You're missing out on the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. You're missing out on the greatest eternal life with Christ in heaven. But you know what you are getting if you're not saved? Eternal damnation in a place called hell. It's time to wake up for your need of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 15, 33, and 34. I'm really looking at verse 34 as my main verse, but I can't get that close to verse 33 without saying it. It says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manner. We could spend a while there, but I'm not. But it's the truth. Who you hang around matters. Look at verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Lord, help us. Awake to righteousness. That word awake, it means to cease to sleep, to come from a state of natural sleep. That's talking fleshly. You wake up in the morning. I mean, you wake up. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science. You're asleep, you wake up, right? But look at this other, awake, to rouse from spiritual sleep. The second point is time to wake up. It's time to wake up the spiritual sleepwalkers. Can I ask you, are you sleepwalking spiritually? I've been there. I've done that. Let me ask you, have you ever seen somebody in real life actually sleepwalking? I'm talking about physically, not spiritually right now. Have you ever seen somebody sleepwalking? Tanner used to sleepwalk. Congratulations, you made the sermon. But he used to sleepwalk. He'd come in our room in the middle of the night, or sometimes we'd hear him walking about. We'd go talk to him, be like, hey, what's going on? You okay? And he would communicate with us. He would talk to us. He was walking around. He seemed awake, but yet there was just something about it. You could tell he wasn't awake. He was sleepwalking. He didn't know what he was doing. You know, there's some things that people do while they're asleep that are really strange. Some of them talk. Some of them walk while they're sleeping. Some of them shout while they're sleeping. I've heard that. I've heard Tanner shout while he's sleeping. Some people sing while they're sleeping. I mean, there's crazy things you do while you're sleeping. But what's funny is most of the time, someone who is actually awake, they can tell when somebody's sleeping, when somebody's sleepwalking or talking. They can tell because they got their full right mind. And they can tell when somebody's sleepwalking. You know, as Christians, we're no different. And I see so many Christians going through life spiritually sleepwalking. It's sad to see. It is. They go through the motions, but yet they're sleeping. Can I tell you, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to quit sleepwalking on God, amen. You might talk a good game. You might talk like you're spiritual. You might preach or teach. Maybe you teach Sunday school. I don't know. Maybe you walk into the church house every time it's open, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, revival time. Maybe you shout during the sermons. Maybe you shout during the singing. Maybe you sing really good during hymnals. Maybe you sing really good when you're singing a special. But yet, you're sleepwalking spiritually. What a shame. What a shame. You might ask, am I talking to anybody in particular? No, but I am talking to each and every one of us. Us. Because we all fall into that category. We're all in the same room, the room of improvement, amen? None of us have ever arrived and never will arrive. There's too much here. The half has not yet been told, amen? But you might do all the things that Christians are supposed to do. The only problem is it's just a show. It's just a show. It's not real. And can I tell you, deep down, each and every one of us know if we're spiritually sleepwalking on God. And if we're true to ourselves, if we really search our hearts, we can all say that at some point in time in our life, we can probably all say right now that to an extent we're all spiritually sleepwalking on God. How do you think that makes God feel? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. You come to church ready to get out. You're thinking about everything else, what's going on in the world, what you got to do for the week, where you got to go, what you got to do while the preacher's preaching, amen. What you do here, what you do pay attention to, goes in one ear, out the other. It's finally over, amen. They hear amen. You go out the door and you live the same way you did all week. You live in the world. You act like the world. You dress like the world, amen. You're spiritually sleepwalking on God. I'm telling you, it's time to wake up. Quit sleepwalking on God, amen. It says, awake to righteousness, amen. Righteousness, purity of heart. Give you a definition, awake to righteousness. Purity of heart. Over there in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't rely on yourself to be righteous. We all know true righteousness comes from God, amen. But I'm talking about us as Christians. Awake to righteousness. Awake to purity of heart, amen. Psalms 51:10, the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That's something that we should pray regular. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Because this world is evil. This world is dirty. And it's going to rub off on you. The Bible says be in the world, not of the world. We have no choice but be in the world. But can I tell you, the longer you're in the world, the longer you're rubbing shoulders with the world, the dirtier your heart's going to get, the less pure it's going to be. And we can't awake to righteousness if we have a dirty heart. Purity of heart. It takes prayer. It takes renewing of your mind to have a pure heart, to have a clean heart. And that comes from communication with God. That comes from reading the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to have a clean, pure heart, amen. Another definition of righteousness says conformity of heart and life to the divine law. We all know what the divine law is. That's the Word of God. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Let me ask you. How's your heart and life compared to the Word of God? Compared to the law? You have a pure heart? Are you living it? Does your life show it? I'm talking about awake unto righteousness. I'm talking about it's time to wake up. Over there in Romans 12, too, we all know it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Yeah. Be not conformed to this world. We need to be conformed to the Word of God. We need to be conformed to the Spirit of God, to everything God, to the law, it said. It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how are we going to prove it? We can't do it ourselves. We already read about our hearts desperately wicked. How are we going to prove it? The law of God. The Word of God. That old King James Bible that we all love. We all should love. Righteousness also can mean, as it's used in Scripture and theology, it can mean in which it's chiefly used. It says it's nearly equivalent to holiness. Are you holy? That's a tough one. None of us are like we should be. Awake to righteousness. Awake to holiness, amen. We all know 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know we call ourselves Christians, which by definition is Christ-like. We all know that Christ is holy. He's just. He's righteous. How are you living your life? You call yourself a Christian? Are you living it? Can somebody say, okay, I see you. You're Christ-like. Amen. Well, that's good. Or are you sleepwalking? Just playing a part. Straddling the fence, as he preached about. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And the third thing, it's time to wake up. If you look back in verse 34, we see the solution. It says, awake to righteousness, and here's the solution. It's real complicated. Y'all pay attention. Everybody pay attention. Awake to righteousness and sin not. It's not complicated. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. I'm not saying we're not going to sin because we all fall short, amen. But we can strive our dead level best to be awake, to be searching for the things of God. And the closer you are to God, I will say, the less that you will sin. That's facts. I've proved that in my own life. And I'm horrible. I'm probably the least of these is how I feel. I'm not a great person. If y'all knew me like I knew me, y'all think, well, what's he doing? He has no business being up there. I'm just being truthful with you. But can I tell you, the closer I am to God, the less I sin. I'm not perfect. I sin just like everybody else. I fight the same temptations as everybody else. But if you will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time to wake up and sin not. And the last thing, it's time to wake up for souls that need the Lord. Look at the last part of verse 34, 1 Corinthians 15. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That hits me hard. Not only I speak this to your shame, because shame on me for not giving the Word of God, for not giving the gospel out to everybody I meet. Shame on me. But it does something to me. For some have not the knowledge of God. There's a world out there that's dying. They're lost. They're going straight to hell. Do we care? Do we care about all our friends and loved ones that are dying and going to bust hell wide open? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and quit playing church. It's time to wake up and quit playing like you're a Christian, amen. If you're a Christian, bless God, it's time to quit spiritually sleepwalking on God. It's time to wake up, because there's a world out there that needs each and every one of us. And can I tell you, if you will awake unto righteousness, if each and every one of you will put in your heart and awake unto righteousness, and we all come together as a church body, what could this church do in our community? What kind of light could this church be in our community if we would all give ourselves fully to God, if we will all awake unto righteousness? Because I can tell you, nobody's out there trying to reach souls. Why can't we? We're Christian. We're Christ-like. Is that not what Jesus did when he came here? He died for the whole world, each and every one of us. What are we doing? You know, we support missionaries. That's a great thing. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But it's more than missionaries on the wall. It's more than missionaries getting it across the seas to other countries. We have a whole mission field right out that door that we neglect. So many times we focus on, oh yeah, we support such and such missionary to Mexico. We support so-and-so, you know, to different countries. We have a whole mission field right out the door. What are we doing? We don't have to go anywhere to be a witness in Nacogdoches, in Appleby, wherever you may be. It's time to wake up. It should be our main focus as Christians. Our main focus as a church is to reach the lost, to let people know that heaven's real. Let them know this hell's real. Let them know what Jesus did for them. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? In closing, let me just say, I'm your alarm clock. I'm your alarm clock. I'm telling you, it's time to wake up. Now you have a choice. I'm leaving it in your hands, in your lap. You take it up with God. You have a choice. You're going to get out of bed? You're going to step on the ground? Get your feet planted firmly on the solid rock Christ Jesus, on that firm foundation? Or are you going to roll over and hit the snooze button? Wake up just long enough so the Holy Ghost conviction will disappear. And then go back to sleep. It's time to wake up. That's the message, short and sweet. But there's a lost and dying world out there that needs us, that needs each and every one of you. Not only will it help them, if you'll wake up, if you'll awake to righteousness, and put all your trust, all your hope in God, and not of anything of this world, it'll help you individually, each and every one of you. It'll help you make it through hard times when things are going bad. It'll help you. When things are going good, it'll help you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. Lord God, I pray that you will finish the message in every heart. Lord, what a burden it is on my heart for us to be holy as you are holy. Lord, what a burden it is for the lost and dying souls that are going to hell. Lord, I pray that you would just help us individually to awake unto righteousness, Lord. Give us the strength that we need to be able to fight this old wicked, evil world every day. Lord, help us to be a witness with our lip, with our life. Lord, help us to no longer sleepwalk on you, Lord. But help us to be Christ-like. Lord, our God, I pray that you will be with the travelers, be with the pastor, and those that are traveling, you'll give them safe travels back home. Lord, all these requests have been brought before you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a good week. Lord, bring everybody back safe Sunday. Lord, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory and honor for it. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, one of them that's still dead and trespasses in sin, Lord God, I pray that you would just waken them up. before it's everlasting too late. Show them their need for salvation. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.